children of Israel, his companion, to take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand.
Welcome to Double Portion Inheritance with Maria Merola, brought to you by DoublePortionInheritance.com. Now, Maria Merola.
Good evening, Mishpachah, friends, family, and Messiah. Tonight is April 24th, 2014, and I want to talk about the pagan holiday coming up called Beltane. What exactly is Beltane? Well, you see, Beltane is named after the pagan deity known as Baal. You know, we read that in the Bible. Baal simply means Lord. The ancient Israelites in the scriptures worshipped Baal, and our creator Yahuwah had a controversy with them. Well, Baal is just a generic title to represent all pagan deities, and there's no proper name attached. It's just Baal. Baal means Lord or master. It even means husband. So why did he have a controversy with them? Because they didn't want to call him by his proper name. They wanted to call our creator by a generic title. That would be equivalent to, let's just say, a woman who used to be a prostitute at one time. She is born again. She has repented now of her sins. She's cleansed. She's washed in the blood of the Lamb. And now she's married to a husband, a set-apart husband. And instead of calling her husband by his proper name, she simply calls him Mister. Hey, Mister. How you doing, Mister? And, you know, she called all the men on the street Mister, when she was in her former lifestyle as a prostitute. How special do you think that husband would feel knowing that his wife used to call all the men on the streets Mister, and now she's referring to him as Mister? You see, it's not that special. He doesn't feel set apart. He doesn't feel special to her. Now, I'm not suggesting that there are married people out there where the wife calls her husband Mister just kind of as a cute little nickname thing. That's fine. But in this situation, it would be different, because if the wife had formerly been a prostitute and she called her husband Mister, then he would know that she was treating him no differently than she used to treat all her clients or all the men she met with on the streets. Well, this is how Yahuwah feels. You see, he called Israel his bride, but she didn't want to call him by his proper name. She didn't want to call him Yahuwah. She wanted to call him Baal, which is just a generic title that means Lord. And in Hosea's prophecy, we read that in the end times, in the last days, he would restore Israel back to himself, and she would no longer call him Baali. Okay, Baali means Lord or lords. She would call him Ishi, which simply means husband. In other words, she would no longer just call him by the names of these false deities. She would finally recognize him as her husband. And this is what it says. And so Hosea chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, it says, "And it shall be at that day, saith Yahuwah, that you shall call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely, and I will betroth you unto me forever. Yes, I will betroth you unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth you unto me in faithfulness, and you shall know Yahuwah. Well, you see, that is about to happen here soon, but in order for Israel to be restored back to her bridegroom, she must know the difference between the true bridegroom and the counterfeit bridegroom. Well, Hasatan, Satan, has a counterfeit bridegroom that he's trying to present to the world. And that counterfeit bridegroom, none other than the office of a pope. That's right. You see, the word pope means father. Papa, papis, in Latin means father. And we are told in Matthew's gospel, Yahushua says to us, call no man on earth father. He's referring to spiritual leaders. Obviously, we're allowed to call our biological fathers, you know, father. But he means, what he's saying is, don't elevate somebody to the position of father in your life. Don't elevate that person so that that person then becomes or takes the place of the Heavenly Father. But what does the Vatican call the Pope? They call him the Holy Father. And I've heard Roman Catholics call him the Holy Father. I've heard news anchor people call him the Holy Father, the Pontiff. You see, the word Pontiff means bridge, as if he's the bridge between Elohim, our Creator, and mankind. He's not the bridge. Scripture tells us there is only one mediator, not more than one. And that one mediator is our Messiah, Yahushua. There's no other mediator. And anyone who tries to present a different mediator to you, they are a false prophet, a false teacher. And it says here in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and men, the man, Mashiach, Yahushua. He's the only mediator. And so, what is Beltane? Well, you see, beloved, there are 8 pagan Sabbaths on the witch's calendar. Annually, there's a witch's wheel that looks exactly like a wagon wheel, and it looks like a pie. If you were to cut a pie into 8 pieces, that's exactly what the witch's wheel looks like. And there are 8 pagan Sabbaths on the witch's wheel. One of those pagan Sabbaths is Beltane, named after Baal. Well, some people call it May Day. When I was a child in the Roman Catholic Church, the nuns would have us dance around the maypole. Little did we realize that what we were practicing was Baal worship. And around the maypole, in the very center of the maypole, was a giant statue of Mary, supposedly, the mother of our Messiah. But you see, that statue is not a representation of the true Mary. That statue is a representation of the false pagan deity known as the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven is talked about in Jeremiah chapter 7, also in Jeremiah 44. Yahuwah had a controversy with Israel because they were imitating the practices of the pagans all around them. They were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. They were burning incense to her. Well, Roman Catholicism has taught the world to do the same thing, including Protestant churches. Protestant churches don't even realize that when they keep Easter Sunday, Easter is just another name. It's an Assyrian name for the Queen of Heaven. Ishtar, Easter. It's the same pagan deity. The Roman Catholic Church calls Mary or Miriam the Queen of Heaven. That's right. And so, you see, May 1st is the day that the Illuminati or the Jesuits in the Vatican plan all of their significant events. Why on May 1st? Because May 1st is the pagan satanic holiday called Beltane. And let me just list some of these for you. You see, back on May 1st, 2011, the Vatican conducted a beatification ceremony where they were going to beatify Pope John Paul II. They exhumed his body from the grave, and they had vials of his living blood that they had taken prior to his death, and those vials of blood were there on the altar for people to adore and worship. In fact, this is a fulfillment of scripture, because what is in the blood of a person? It's the DNA. It's the image of the person. And so when scripture tells us that the world wondered after the beast and they worshiped his image, this is exactly what they did. When they worshiped the blood of Pope John Paul II, they worshiped his image. In Revelation 19:20, it says that they worshiped the image of the beast. And this is what happened on May 1st, 2011. Now, I can remember doing a radio program with my former co-host Daniel Merrick on Shema AM the very next day. This was May the 2nd. It was a Monday morning, May the 2nd, 2011. And the show began with Daniel saying, well, Osama bin Laden is dead now. And of course, I knew that Osama bin Laden had already been dead for many years. And so I said to Daniel, Daniel, really? Do you really think that Osama bin Laden was just caught and killed yesterday? I believe Osama bin Laden has been caught and killed for a long time. He was killed a long time ago. But the reason why the Illuminati had to make it appear that Osama bin Laden had died on the very same day that they conducted this beatification ceremony for John Paul II is because, according to Catholic dogma, someone needs to do three miracles from the grave in order to be canonized as a saint. Well, Pope John Paul II supposedly performed two miracles from the grave. People had prayed to him, which, of course, we know it's an abomination to pray to anyone other than the Creator, Yahuwah. In the name of our Messiah, we are told in Scripture we are to pray to the Father in our Messiah's name, Yahushua. We are not to pray to so-called saints. We are not to pray to Mary or any other false deity. We are to pray to one, and that is our Heavenly Father. Well, people did pray to Pope John Paul II, the dead Pope John Paul II. We are told in Deuteronomy 18:10 through 11, we are not to communicate with the dead. This is called necromancing. This is considered an abomination. So when people try to have communication with the dead, this is an absolute abomination. But the Catholic Church teaches the whole world to commit these abominations. And so, supposedly, Pope John Paul II did two miracles from the grave when people had prayed to him. However, one more miracle was needed in order for him to be considered a saint. And that one miracle, which, by the way, they faked this miracle, they staged the whole thing in front of the whole world, and most of the world has bought the lie. But they claim that because people were praying to Pope John Paul II and they were worshiping him and adoring him on May 1st, 2011, the result was that they were able to catch and kill Osama bin Laden. And so I said this to my co-host on May 2nd, 2011 on the radio, and I received a lot of criticism from people for believing that this was their agenda. By the very next day, May 3rd, 2011, Daniel Garcia, the Peruvian president, made an official statement proving that what I had said was true and accurate, that this is exactly what Daniel Garcia said. He made a statement confirming that which I had said the day before on the radio. He stated that the reason why Osama bin Laden had been killed, caught and killed, was because people were praying to Pope John Paul II. And so my suspicions were correct. I knew that's exactly what they had up their sleeve. Now, if you would like more documentation about this, all of this is documented in my book called 14 Identifiers of the Beast. Just go to my website, doubleportioninheritance.com. You can download that ebook there under the store tab. Or if you would like to receive my flash drive, I offer a flash drive with 60 ebooks on it. On that flash drive is included this book called 14 Identifiers of the Beast. And in that book, I show documentation of Daniel Garcia making the announcement that the reason why Osama bin Laden was cut and killed was because people were praying to Pope John Paul II. It's CNN's website. It's actually on CNN's official website. It says, Peruvian president calls bin Laden killing miracle from Pope John Paul II. This article is dated May 2nd, 2011. Now, I was not aware of this article until the very next day on May 3rd when I announced it on the radio, but they planned the whole thing. You see, the Jesuits are nicknamed in Latin the Illuminati. Illuminati means the enlightened ones. They are Luciferians. Their belief is that our Messiah, Yahushua, is none other than Lucifer himself. That is their belief. They believe that the one who fell from heaven in Isaiah 14:12 is the morning star, who they say is Lucifer, who came back reincarnated as Jesus. That is what they believe. Okay, theirs is another Jesus, another Yahushua. They don't worship the Yahushua of the scriptures. They have another Yahushua, who is none other than the alter ego of Lucifer. So they planned this. They planned this carefully on May 1st, 2011, that the whole world would worship the blood of Pope John Paul II. They worshiped his image. The very next day, Peruvian President Daniel Garcia made this announcement. And this is what the CNN article says. It says, while many world leaders praised the U.S. killing of Osama bin Laden, the president of Peru went a step further on Monday, calling the development the first miracle of Pope John Paul II since he was beatified last weekend. This is what he said. He says, I have said that his first miracle has been to remove from the earth this demonic incarnation of crime, evil, and hatred. Peruvian President Garcia said, according to CNN affiliate America TV in Peru. And I think that's great news. That should please Mr. Obama. Garcia went on, referring to the U.S. president. In some ways, it also vindicates former President George W. Bush, who made the decision to punish bin Laden and to patiently continue this work that is finally bearing fruit. Pope John Paul II, who died in April 2005, was beatified in Rome on Sunday, hours before Obama announced that bin Laden had been killed in Pakistan by U.S. special forces. Beatification is the last step before sainthood and requires someone to have performed one miracle after his or her death. Sainthood requires the church to confirm a second miracle. Okay, so this is the agenda. This is why they did this on Beltane. Beltane is a satanic high holy day. And so the Illuminati plans their events on May 1st. So it is no accident that they're planning another satanic event on April 27th, just in time for Beltane. I wonder what they've got up their sleeve. So let me say what they've got planned on April 27th of this year. They've got planned Pope Francis to usher in Vatican 3D TV transmission at unprecedented canonization ceremony. This is what it says, and the source comes from, it's Vatican City has issued this report. Pope Francis will become the first pontiff seen globally in 3D during the upcoming April 27th ceremony in St. Peter's Square, when two of his predecessors, John Paul II and John Paul the 23rd, will be canonized as saint. The unprecedented double canonization event will be produced in 3D by the Vatican TV Center in a partnership with Rupert Murdoch's Sky Italia, B Sky B and Sky Deutschland payboxes, and Sony. The ceremony will also be beamed into 3D movie theaters across Europe and in North and South America in what is being touted as the first convergence of HD, 3D, and 4K technologies for such a high-profile multimedia 3D event. At a press conference in the Vatican, CTV Chief Monsignor Dario Vigano said the live transmission will require more satellites than the Saki Olympics. Vigano underlined that the Vatican decided to offer the canonization ceremony to the world in 3D in order to give people who want to attend but cannot, for many reasons, including economic ones, the chance to get a fully immersive experience. The production will use 13 3D cameras. See, you see, it's not an accident that they're using 13. 13 is the number that the Illuminati uses oftentimes to send subliminal messages. The production will use 13 3D cameras positioned in spots that will give a unique and exclusive vantage point of St. Peter's Square. The HD feed will be carried by 100 broadcasters, including Italo Pubcaster RAI, and viewed by an estimated 200,000 global TV audience. The 3D TV feed will be beamed into Italy, the UK, and Germany on Sky. The fact that CTV has teamed up with Sky on the 3D TV project rather than RAI, which has until now been the Vatican's customary TV partner in Italy, marks a major coup for Sky Italia. Sky Italia Managing Director Andrea Zappia said he was very proud of the partnership with the Vatican, which will also mark the first time Sky Italia, B Sky B, and Sky Deutschland team up on a live event. More than 100 movie theaters in Italy will screen the ceremony in 3D through Nexo Digital, which will also beam it into movie theaters around the world everywhere for free. Roughly 5 million pilgrims are expected in Rome for the event, which will see four popes united in St. Peter's. Given that the Vatican has confirmed that Pope Benedict the 16th will attend, Benedict, who stepped down from the papacy in February 2013, has been living a secluded existence inside the Vatican walls. So, I want to list for you other Illuminati-planned events that have all taken place on Beltane or May 1st. First of all, as I've already mentioned, May 1st, 2011 was the beatification ceremony of Pope John Paul II when they worshiped his blood. On May 1st, 1945, the Holocaust ended. This was the same day that Adolf Hitler died, which is why we celebrate Holocaust Memorial Day on May 1st. Did Adolf Hitler really commit suicide? I highly doubt it. I believe he was killed and he was hung to make it look like a suicide. I believe the Illuminati, the Jesuits, finished using him. Their work with him was finished. They no longer needed him. The Vatican was behind the Holocaust and they planned this to happen on May 1st. May 1st, 1945, Hitler was confirmed dead. May 1st, 1776 was the establishment of the Illuminati in Ingolstadt. May 1st, 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution. May 1st, 1919, the USSR's International Labor Day. May 1st, 1948, Kingdom of North Korea established with Kim Il-sung as leader. May 1st, 1961, Fidel Castro claims Cuba a socialist nation. May 1st, 2003, the United States and the UK announced major hostilities in Iraq have ended. Okay, I'm back from break, and before I went on break, I was explaining that May 1st is a satanic high holy day called Beltane. Beltane is when the Illuminati or the Jesuits in the Vatican plan special events. Why? Because it's named after Baal, 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 Beltane. And another name for it is May Day. May Day, that this is when people dance around the maypole. What does the maypole represent? The maypole is an Asherah pole. You see, in Hebrew, Asherah is the name of a pagan goddess, the queen of heaven. Asherah means to be straight, to be erect. It is a phallic symbol. What is a phallic symbol? It is supposed to represent Nimrod's uncircumcised penis. That's right. Maypole. The maypole is an Asherah pole. When I was a child in the Catholic Church, I remember that the nuns used to make us dance around the maypole. We had no idea what we were doing, but in the center was a gigantic colossus of Mary, Queen of Heaven, and we would dance around the statue of Mary, and we would adorn her statue with flowers and all kinds of crazy things like that. Okay, so May 1st is a satanic high holy day, and the Vatican is planning this event on April 27th for Pope Francis to be seen worldwide in 3D for free in movie theaters. Why are they doing this? Well, I believe this is a fulfillment of what is written in the scriptures concerning the image of the beast. You see, they're going to make an image of the beast and they're going to make it speak and they're going to give life unto the image. They're going to make the image speak via 3D. And this is what I believe is a fulfillment of this. Okay, this is a fulfillment. They gave life to the image of the beast and they made it speak, it says in Revelation chapter 16. And so they're planning this on April 27th because this is right before May 1st. What do they have up their sleeve? I don't know, and I'm only speculating. I'm not predicting or prophesying, but something stinks. Something is fishy here, and it wouldn't surprise me if they're planning a fake resurrection of Pope John Paul II. Why would I say such a thing? Well, you see, they have Pope John Paul II's body encased in a glass case, the only pope that they've ever done this with. and they have a camera watching his dead body 24/7. If you can watch this on YouTube, you can see YouTube videos where people go in and they pray at the dead body of Pope John Paul II. And because they're praying to his dead body, they claim that miracles are being done. And in some of these videos, you can see like this bright light, this aura coming into the room, and people claim that that's the ghost of Pope John Paul II. Beloved, this is purely satanic. This is purely occult at worst. At best, it's just a hoax. Okay, it's just a hoax. Now, I want to talk about why they would do something like this. You see, Pope John Paul II is the only pope in history whose name adds up to 666. You see, every pope bears the title in Latin, Vicarius Filii Dei, which means substitute for the Son of God. That title adds up to 666. And every pope bears this title on his triple crown when he is coronated. However, Pope John Paul II is the only pope in history whose actual name adds up to 666. So, Ioannis Pavlos II in Latin adds up to 666. Not only that, but Pope John Paul II was supposedly Jewish. His mother, Emily Katz, was supposedly Jewish. And, people have said in different publications that Pope John Paul II was the best pope the Jewish people ever had. In fact, John Hagee, the famous TV evangelist, stated this in his book, In Defense of Israel. He said that Pope John Paul II was the best pope the Jewish people ever had, as if the Jewish people want or need a pope. Okay, that is suspicious. I believe they're planning something on May 1st having to do with Pope John Paul II. Of course, they're going to canonize him as a saint on April 27th, but 3 days later, you remember, our Messiah was in the grave 3 days and three nights. All right, so what are they planning 3 days and three nights prior to May 1st? Could it be a fake resurrection of John Paul II? Well, time will tell. Like I said, I'm not predicting, I'm not prophesying, I'm merely speculating. However, the fact that they were worshiping his blood, and as I said, the blood is the DNA, it is the image of a person. They were worshiping his image back on May 1st, 2011. Okay, 3 years later, how long was our Messiah's ministry? It was 3 years long, wasn't it? How long was he in the grave? 3 days and three nights. Okay, May 1st, 2014 is exactly 3 years later from May 1st, 2011. Could it be they're trying to make Pope John Paul II look like the Messiah? Could it be that they're doing this beatification ceremony or this canonization ceremony on April 27th for the whole world to see, and then 3 days and three nights later on May 1st, the high satanic holy day of Beltane, could it be that they're planning the fake resurrection of Pope John Paul II? Who knows? Like I said, I'm merely speculating, but I believe that they've got something up their sleeve, because why would Pope John Paul II be the only pope in history to have his body encased in a glass case and a camera on his body 24 hours a day? Well, I don't know why they would do such a thing, except for the fact that they're planning a fake resurrection and the whole world wonders after the beast, and they make an image of the beast and they cause the image of the beast to speak. That's the only thing that would make sense why they would do such a thing. I want to talk about some news that came to the surface recently, and this is concerning the murder of children. And the Vatican has been murdering children. This comes from a website about child trafficking, and the website itccs.org. Okay, itccs.org has published this article about the Vatican being implicated in the murder of children. itccs.org stands for International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State. This was published June 15, 2010. Okay, it says, Adjudication in the Case of the Pope, Global Child Trafficking and Murder. The International Common Law Court of Justice, Criminal Trial Division, Brussels. Adjudication in the Case of the Pope, Global Child Trafficking and Murder. Public Information, Bulletin Number 2. An update from the Citizen Prosecutor's Office, Thursday, April 10th, 2014. For immediate public release summary, the common law trial in absentia of the three top officials of the Vatican and the Church of England, George Bergoglio, Adolfo Pacone, and Justin Welby, began Monday, April 7th, with the opening arguments of the citizen prosecutor. The court convened in closed session under tight security, presided by five magistrates and a complete courtroom staff, along with 27 sworn jury members. The prosecutor has spent the past 3 days presenting affidavits or videotape statements from 16 witnesses from Canada, the United States of America, England, and Holland. These witnesses' statements and evidence address the complicity of the defendants of their agents in the sexual and financial trafficking and the ritual rape, torture, and murder of children in these countries. The prosecution will be calling upon the first of these witnesses to be present in court for examination and questioning commencing the week of Monday, April 14th. Of course, this was Passover of all days, when the special assistant to the prosecutor, Reverend Kevin Annette, will also be present in court to give testimony and assistance. Here are some details from the prosecution's case evidence. The prosecution's evidence falls into three categories: institutional genocide, child sacrifice and ritual killing, and child trafficking. Each of these will be addressed by the witnesses and corroborating material. The 16 witnesses in this first round of evidence have direct firsthand experience and knowledge of the role of the defendants and their agents in all of these crimes, including in the so-called Ninth Circle child sacrificial cult. Besides participants in this cult and survivals of government experimental programs, these witnesses include former officials of the Roman Catholic and Anglican churches, retired and serving policemen, indigenous elders, a retired senior politician from England, an operative of the Canadian Security and Intelligence Services, CSIS, and a former civil servant of the Argentine military junta. The prosecution has also received an affidavit from Reverend Kevin Annette, ITCCS field secretary, that connects his victimization by church and state in Canada with his discovery of the activity of Ninth Circle members at Indian residential schools across Canada and with the continued murder of Indigenous women and children by this circle on the west coast of Canada. Reverend Annette will appear in court next week, sometime after April 14th, to be examined by the prosecution and present further evidence. Former Ninth Circle participants, whose evidence was presented in court last Tuesday, April 8th, testify that Cree Indians in northern Canada are being continually targeted by the Circle for torture and murder because of the valuable uranium resources on their lands, which are coveted by the United States military and corporations associated with the Ninth Circle and their adherents within both the American and Canadian governments. The names of prominent Canadian American and American politicians and corporate officials who engage in these Circle ritual killings have been named in court and entered into the evidence record. The Ninth Circle began at least three centuries ago in the Vatican, but has expanded to embrace local satanic child sacrifice cults across Europe and the Americas. Thanks to Catholic pressure, the Circle affiliated strongly with Nazi cultic groups that had close ties with the Waffen-SS during the 1930s and the 1940s, including the so-called Knights of Darkness, whose members included former Pope Benedict Joseph Ratzinger. Many of these members continued their murderous acts against children after World War II, especially in Canada. Testimony was received from the sole survivor of a Knights of Darkness cult at the former Royal Canadian Air Force Base, known as Lincoln Park in Calgary, Alberta. The witness observed the ritual torture and killing of 20 abducted children by a former SS doctor and three other knights working undercover as Canadian military personnel between the years 1956 and 1958. Records of the SS doctor codenamed Major Bob Armstrong, SS number 091374SS, have been confirmed by Canadian government documents obtained by the court from a former official of the Canadian Military Intelligence Agency, the NIS. Other witnesses to the Ninth Circle cults confirmed the presence of British royal family members Mountbatten and Prince Philip at these child sacrifices, whose presence was concealed by defendant Welby. Jesuit officers, including defendants Pacone and Bergoglio, were also present at the same rituals at Carnarvon Castle in Wales at an undisclosed French chateau during the 1980s and 1990s. Similar sacrifices were conducted at Catholic and Anglican Indian residential schools in Kamloops, British Columbia, and Brantford, Ontario, during the 1960s and earlier, according to statements from living and deceased Indigenous eyewitnesses. A massive child trafficking network operating through official Roman Catholic adoption, Planned Parenthood, and foster care agencies was described by a witness with inside knowledge of this network and its coordination through a special office at the Vatican. This office siphons children into Ninth Circle cultic activity and child sexual trafficking networks around the world, including to another witness, or according to another witness, a former employee of the Curia in Rome. An eyewitness to the personal involvement of Pope Francis, George Bergoglio, in such child trafficking in Argentina during the reign of the military junta has presented his affidavit to the court. He is a former civil servant of the junta with the junta and is in protected custody in Spain. He will appear before the court to corroborate his statement. Further evidence of the prosecution will be disclosed in upcoming bulletins and according to the decision of the court magistrates. Beloved, this is all well-documented information. I am not making this up. And beloved, I've known for years by knowledge from the Ruach HaKodesh, by the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, that the Catholic Church was involved in these child ritual sacrifices. I've listened to the testimony of this woman named Zvali, which is her pseudoname. She witnessed these things for herself. She was 12 years old. She went to the Vatican and she witnessed child sacrifices taking place below the Vatican. So I've known this for years. When the Vatican pretends to be against abortion, they're only doing it as a strategy to win the Protestant churches back to the Mother Harlot Church. They really don't care about abortion. They are not really against abortion. They are only pretending to be against abortion so that they can win the Protestants back to the Mother Harlot Church. That is their agenda, beloved. And so this article just came to the surface on April 17th, 2014. And now, I mean, of course, it started in 2010, but it resurfaced again on April 17th, 2014. Okay, this, once again, comes from the same website, itccs.org, and also from www.iclcj.com. This is bulletin number 3, Thursday, April 17th, 2014, in the matter of the people versus Bergoglio, Pacone, Welby, and others charged with global child trafficking and ritual murder. It says, the court adjourns for 2 weeks after the first round in the prosecutor's case discloses the startling testimony of 8 witnesses. 2 separate witnesses describe their alleged rape and ritual torture by chief defendant George Bergoglio, alias Pope Francis. In 2009 and 2010, the chief prosecutor establishes a link between the British, Dutch, and Belgian royal families and the disappearances and killing of Mohawk children at the Church of England's Brantford Indian Residential School in Canada. Jesuit records are introduced as evidence detailing the so-called magisterial privilege decreeing papal involvement in Ninth Circle ritual murder of newborn children. The same records identify Joseph Ratzinger as a member of the Knights of Darkness, SS, sacrificial cult during World War II. ITCCS Field Secretary Kevin Annette is scheduled to testify before the court during its second round of sessions in early May 2014 to corroborate witnesses' testimony from his own work and experience. A prominent Vatican official initiates black channel communication with the court and offers key evidence as magistrates consider extending closed court sessions during May. The court and its affiliates will issue an Easter proclamation this Sunday, April 20th, and endorse public actions at the Vatican and Catholic churches across the world. Reverend Kevin Annette will lead a public ceremony of exorcism and replacement at a prominent Catholic cathedral on that day. The details. Following 8 days of court procedure and the commencement of the citizen prosecutor's case against the three chief defendants, the first common law adjudication of evidence concerning global child trafficking has adjourned for 2 weeks until 10 a.m. Greenwich Meridian time on Monday, May 5th, 2014. Commencing on Tuesday, April 8th, after an opening court session the day before, the case by the Citizen Prosecutor's Office presented evidence directly linking all three chief defendants with the planning and execution of child trafficking networks within the Roman Catholic and Anglican churches and with the practice and concealment of the ritual rape, torture, and killing of children. Along with considerable documentation, the prosecutor introduced notarized affidavit statements from 8 eyewitnesses to these crimes, including videotaped interviews with 2 adolescent women who claimed to have been tortured and raped by Chief Defendant George Bergoglio, alias Pope Francis, during the spring of 2009 and 2010 at horrific cult functions connected to the Ninth Circle Child Sacrifice Network. Survivals of these rituals describe newborn babies being chopped into pieces on stone altars, and their remains were then consumed by the participants, described the chief prosecutor to the court. The survivors during the 1960s period were forced to rape and mutilate other children and then cut their throats with ceremonial daggers. Former Pope Benedict Joseph Ratzinger, Dutch Cardinal Elfrink, and Prince Bernard were among the cult participants, according to these survivors, but significantly, the more recent incidents in 2009 and 2010 involved exactly the same kinds of ritualized murder of newborn infants in rural Holland, Belgium. Other witnesses described their personal knowledge of efforts by the defendants to conceal the involvement of not only the Catholic and Anglican Church, but the British, Belgian, and Dutch royal families in the ritual killing of Mohawk Indian children at the Brantford Residential School in Ontario, Canada. These killings span over 70 years and include the period between 1942 and 1945 when exiled Dutch Queen Wilhelmina and her family lived in Canada and participated in Ninth Circle rituals at the Mohawk Indian School. Introduced documentation indicates that to assist and conceal such involvement of Dutch royals in these cult killings, the Canadian government and Privy Council office in London granted extraterritorial exemption to the Dutch royals from all criminal, civil, and military jurisdiction while in Canada. This comes from the Canada Gazette, issue number 232, December 26, 1942, Ottawa. Dutch and Belgian royal participants in the rape and killing of Mohawk children and newborns included Bilderberger founder Crown Prince Bernard and King Hendrik, consort to Queen Wilhelmina of Holland. As part of the prosecutor's corroborating evidence, secret archives from the Jesuit order were introduced into the court record that describe in detail the so-called magisterial privilege compelling the participation of every new pope in the Ninth Circle sacrifice of newborn children. The record suggests that Ninth Circle was established by the Jesuits just prior to their staged disbandment in 1773 and their establishment 3 years later of the so-called Illuminati cult, although references are also made to organized child sacrifice rituals at Catholic cathedrals in Rome as early as the year 1528.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast and that you are encouraged in your walk with Messiah through the teaching. To visit Maria's website, visit DoublePortionInheritance.com. That's www.DoublePortionInheritance.com. This broadcast depends on the love gifts and offerings of listeners like you. To send a donation to Maria's ministry, write Double Portion Inheritance, Maria Merola, P.O. Box 7311, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22404. Or you can donate with the PayPal button at DoublePortionInheritance.com. For Maria and all the ministry team at Double Portion Inheritance, may Yah bless you.